Welcome to all of you here this fine, beautiful Sunday afternoon. Well, soon to be afternoon, I guess. So I have to start with a little disclaimer today. I don't usually preach about the moral failings of others. You know, it's a very tempting thing. I get all fire and brimstone-y on you. I don't usually preach about it, and I don't know, maybe it's that I'm concerned about my own moral failings. But today, I'm going to preach a little bit on it. Because I've just had it up to here with a particular issue. And it does have to do with Scripture too, so I'll get to that part. Now, many of you know that I work at a restaurant one night a week. It's kind of a hobby of mine, and I enjoy it because I'm on my feet, and that's good because the rest of my job generally involves me sitting down on my rump, and you know, too much of that's not good for your health, and I am getting a little older, as the white beard hairs will indicate to all of you here. And the other night while I was there, and I work with a bunch of people that are in their 20s, so it's always fun, too, to, you know, hear from them and get their perspective on things, get a younger view of the world. And the other night, there was a gentleman that came in, and he was, you know, talking, and seemed nice enough or okay, and he was talking up one of the servers and talking to her and everything like that. And I thought, oh, well, you know, he was about 70. I thought, well, just, you know, kind of a kooky older, nice man, you know, blah, 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 you know. Fine, whatever, it was a little different. And then he wrote this note before he left and gave it to this young server who's, you know, in her mid-20s. And it was a note that said that he just really wanted to take her on a date and couldn't wait to take her to dinner or a drink or a show or performance or whatever. And, you know, I say I've had it up to here because I've seen so many instances recently. Men, I'm sorry, I'm going to call you guys out. Of men just being horrible. Just being horrible to women. I've seen it time and time and time again. And, you know, I don't know what was going through this guy's mind. But, you know, there is no way that some young 25-year-old wants to go out with a 70-year-old man. It just doesn't happen. Nowhere. I mean, maybe for some other reasons that we don't need to go into, something like that might be arranged. But, you know, it just isn't ever going to happen. And yet, for some reason, he thought it was appropriate to do that. And I've seen it in my wife's store. My wife hires primarily women. It just ends up being that way. She's had men that work for her as well. And two women that she's got working for her now most of the time are in their mid-20s. And the number of harassing things that they get to experience or have to experience is horrendous. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of men, again, that come in that are their grandfather's ages that, you know, hit on them and, you know, ask them on a date and all that sort of stuff. But then there's the younger men, their own age, that they think, well, you know, he seems like an all right guy till he opens his mouth and says some horrible sexist thing or, you know, thinks that some smart comment he's going to make is somehow going to woo them. You know, rather than just being a respectful gentleman, which is what they're looking for, he ends up being a three-letter word that begins with an A and ends with an S, and I won't mention the other letter. And I'm sick of it. I see it time and time again. You know, there was a survey that came out recently, and it said that, and this is sad, it said that a survey of a majority of men think that women like to be sexually harassed. Yeah. And a friend of mine put a comment up next to it that was a post from somebody else that I think sums it up very well. And it said, a recent survey of sharks find that a majority of sharks feel humans like to be eaten. And it's a sad thing. And I don't know if it's always been this way. And maybe I'm just finally getting old enough. And maybe that I now have, you know, younger female friends or coworkers, and I'm starting to notice it this more. I mean, certainly, you know, my mother grew up in an era of tremendous sexism and had to deal with all sorts of things in the workplace, I'm sure. But I just thought that, you know, I don't know, maybe we would have made some progress. And maybe men would have learned that being nice and being kind and treating people with respect is the right way to win someone's heart and the right way to be an example in the world. But, you know, this goes towards these sins that we hear about in Paul's writing. Paul writes about the sins of the flesh and writes about the law. And sort of a concern that Paul has is that, you know, when we only focus on the law, and the law is important, but when we only focus on the law, we're always going to fall short, because even the best, most well-intentioned of us, even myself included, are going to mess up every now and again. Now, don't worry, I'm not writing any young ladies' notes, but, you know, there are some things I've done, some times I've been angry when I shouldn't have been, some times when I've let some words fly that shouldn't have flown, some times when I've indulged a little bit too much in things that I know aren't good for me, like tons of fried chicken. You know, there's been times where I haven't done what I know that I should do. And all of us fall prey to that. And if we only focus on the law, then we're going to fall short, because we're going to break that law, basically. And then what do? We can't ever hope to be perfect and follow the law. And so Paul says what a blessing it is to have Christ in our life, because basically what happens is that first we have forgiveness through Christ for what we've done in the past, and that furthermore the Spirit of Christ is in us to help inspire us to do better things, to inspire us to live life as we should, to inspire us to listen to that part of ourselves that is given by God that tells us the right thing to do. And that is how Christ works. That is why Christ is better than the law. And, you know, these sins that he talks about, sins of the flesh, I like to call them sort of impulse sins. And those, I think, are some of the most dangerous ones. They're, you know, times when we feel tempted to do something. Obviously, these gentlemen are tempted by something. We don't need to describe what that is, but you know what I'm talking about. We have temptation of anger. You know, we have that part of ourselves that gets really upset at somebody else, and we just got that anger that wells up in us that immediately wants us to do something that's probably not going to be good for us in the long term. We have those other impulses, you know, greed and all those sorts of things that the Bible warns us against. And I think that the reason that we hear about them so much is because they come up in our lives. They come up in our lives very regularly. And it's something to guard against. And again, I'm not getting into this, you know, oh, we're all, you know, sinners, you know, we should somehow feel bad or whatever. That's not my point. I mean, yes, we all make mistakes, but we're all precious children of God and loved by God and good people. But the point of it is that when we make those decisions, it doesn't do good things for us. It hurts us in the long run. You know, it makes us look like a creep, perhaps, or it hurts our health, or it hurts our relationship with other people, or it hurts our finances or our ability to provide for our family going forward. And maybe even will land us in jail. You know, these impulse decisions that we make don't help us. And certainly is not what God wants for us. I mean, we look at poor Esau in this, you know, story that we have of Jacob and Esau. Now, granted, you know, we sort of feel like this was destined to be the fact because of other pieces of Scripture. But still, Esau has his inheritance right, and basically because that food just looks so good and he can't quite stay away from it. He makes that impulse decision, I'm going to take that, despite what it will mean for the rest of his life. And how many cases have you seen, how many instances have you seen where people have done that? People have made a really bad decision impulsively, and it has caused great difficulty for the rest of their lives. I mean, I wish it didn't work that way, but unfortunately, it does. And so this is something that Paul warns us against. And furthermore, he tells us that Christ is there to help us, that we are not alone. That, you know, when we feel these temptations, when we feel these things that we know aren't right, you know, mom's told us not to take a cookie from the cookie jar, we want to take one anyway, that we need to stop. And we need to pray, and we need to think about it. And if we just stop and do that for a little bit, then the majority of the time, we will find ourselves to the right decision. But there's another reason that doing the right thing is important, and being mindful and thinking about doing the right thing is important. And it's not just because of yourself. It's because of the others around you. Believe it or not, no matter how old you are, if you're here and you're a teenager or if you're 90 plus years old, believe it or not, no matter who you are in this room, you are an influence for somebody else. Other people look to you. Other people look at what you do and they take from those actions a lesson. You are an example. Every one of us is. And I remember, and you know, perhaps it's the reason I grew up as halfway decent as I did, I remember all the influences that I had in my life, all the good men that I had as influences. I remember a gentleman, Mr. Al, who was a vaudeville dancer who was born in the 1800s. And he was the most perfect gentleman, always. Kind, considerate, respectful of women. And he taught me that that's what you're supposed to do. No doubt, no question. And I think of my grandfather as well, who's now a young 94. He's still spry, though, getting around. Just had a knee replacement last year. And I think about how even though he didn't finish high school, and even though he came from very impoverished backgrounds, he worked very, very hard and was respectful of others and brought himself into a middle-class life. And it taught me the importance of hard work and the importance of respect. And that influenced me as well. And so you see, when we make decisions, it's not just about ourselves. It's about everyone around us. My seminary ethics professor very poignantly made that clear to us. She said that when you are a minister, and I would say this is true for anybody, but she said, when you are a minister, you need to remember that it's not just about you. It's about the congregation you serve. It's about all the congregations that you will serve. It's also about what you represent. And if you do something that's very immoral, not only is it a bad thing, and not only will it not be good for you, but it'll affect every single person that you've ever preached to. Because they will view things differently. And that seemed like a heck of a weight to have on one's shoulders. But that's also the way life works. And it's not just for me. Everything that each one of us does influences others. And even though that might seem like a weight, even though it might seem like a pressure, because goodness knows, well, I'll speak for myself. I'm not perfect. I don't know. Some of you guys out there might be pretty close to perfect, but I'm certainly not. It is also a blessing. It's a blessing because we can know that we can influence the world. That through our good actions and through our doing things that God has told us to do, through our following the right guidelines that God has laid down for us, that we can influence the world and make it a better place. We can influence others. We can influence the younger generation. And younger people here can even still influence the older generation. Believe it or not, it can happen. And what a strength and what a power that is. So when you go out into the world today and you are thinking about your life and you're thinking about what you should do and you're thinking about what's right and what's wrong, especially when you're about to go over to The Ohio State University, keep in mind that God is with you and God is encouraging you to do the work that is good. And if you do that, not only will you save yourself from many troubles along the way, but you'll make the world a better place in the process. Amen. Please join us for our closing hymn, Heavenly Spirit, Gentle Spirit, number 254 in the Blue Hymnal.
Heavenly Spirit, Gentle Spirit.